But now, guess what? One of my favorite people is going to share thoughts with us tonight. And anybody that doesn't know her, get ready, because she's going to be one of your favorite people. Yeah. But I think everybody already, and I'm looking around, most all of you know Penny.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Oh, I'm so blessed to be here. Thank you. Thanks for coming. I got my book here of what I wrote. It's interesting. This is one of the lesson plans that we just did. As a Harpy Eagle, I teach kids after school art lessons. And interesting, when I was in, I was about in eighth grade, and my eighth grade science teacher said, everybody gets in life has an Indian guide. We'll get an Indian guide.
Wow.
And I'm like sitting there going, what the heck are you talking about? You know? And it stuck with me. It stuck with me my whole life until we got here, you know, and Resting Eagle is my Indian guide. And then when I finally tracked this eighth grade science teacher down recently from Facebook, I asked him about that, and he just said, what the heck are you talking about? So I, you wonder, what we hear and how we process it, and it's just kind of interesting. And then I remember this dream I had recently was of, I was with a guide, it was a spirit guide, and I was talking, as a spirit, I was talking to this guide, and right next to her was a me, but even though I was talking to her, it was me as a woman, and an Indian woman, young woman, and I guess it was my higher self, said in the dream to this spirit guide, you have to be this person in order to walk through that door. I don't know what that meant, but I thought it was really interesting because around the same time I went with Carol over there, hi Carol, to this place down, where is it, Chula Vista, and there was this table tipping medium there. She was from Australia, but she had this little table, and she would just, it would move that way, because I think the table tipping phenomena is really interesting. So, but this is different. I've never seen a medium actually do it herself and just hold it, and it would move when the vibration came in. And the first spirit that would come in, she said, this is your Indian guide, Resting Eagle. And she said he was a Cherokee Indian during the Walk of Tears. The Trail of Tears. During the Trail of Tears. And he was my father, and he wanted me to have a... He felt so bad that I didn't have a good life then that he wanted me to... He's been with me since birth to make sure that I have a good life in this lifetime. Oh, wow. So I thought that was really interesting, because even 20 years ago, one of the reverends up here gave me a message. I was, like, sitting right there. And they said, there's this Indian woman right behind you, and she's Cherokee. And she said to... it would be really interesting for you to find a book. And I did. I found a book. I don't know where it is, but on Cherokee recipes. And so I did. I found that, and I got that. So it's kind of like it all ties in with your thread, you know. But that has nothing to do with my talk, but I just thought that was interesting. So anyway, hi, everybody. I'm Penelope. I'm going to read a lot tonight to you, too. My name is Penelope Louise King Quirk. I'm a spiritualist. I'm a president of Art Smarts Incorporated. Jay Loreen's one of my employees. I've gotten a lot of employees through the church. Really talented. There's a lot of talented people in my life. You know, I've also been, I have two teenage daughters. I've been married to my husband for almost 26 years now. So that's awesome. This thought pattern isn't right for him, but it's nice because he lets me do my thing. I let him do his thing. You know, it really, it works. And so I want to get you guys excited about our church, excited about spiritualism, and also I want to talk about our talents. And look at Lisa, how talented she is. I mean, that is just so fabulous. You know, thank you. I mean, that's just fabulous. Thank you. And also, how many of you are either new here tonight or relatively new to our church? Oh, Spencer, put your hand up. So that's good. You know, if your heart feels like it, in the front of our songbooks is our the principles of our church, the Declaration of Principles of our church, the Fraternal Spiritualist Church. So if your heart feels like it, look at it. It's pretty interesting. You might find it interesting. And these beliefs, this belief system has been inherent in me since birth and even before. Even before. When I was little, I remember going to church and I saw a movie and it was about, you know, Christ's time, about biblical stuff. But the guy who was playing something was a young, what was his name? Tom Barracus or Barra? The guy that did Mr. Magoo. Oh. Okay. Tom Barracus. Okay. Jim Backus. Right. So it was a young actor. And so this is a little kid's thought. You're about your age, and I'm thinking, see, there's reincarnation. This is what I'm thinking of. I mean, it's like, there's your proof right there, because this is a guy that does. So, I mean, these are the thoughts that are, you know, I'm having when I'm really little, you know. So it's like inbred in me. I mean, I've been born this way, you know. And I believe that this is the time right now, and it's really ripe for spiritualism to take off and grow. I really, truly believe that in our society. And I agree with what Spencer wrote. I don't think you have any more left over there. He says, quote, "I believe our church is poised to be the premier spiritualist church in the nation." I truly believe that. You know, I really, really do. And if you've been here for a while, you know that we refer to the Bible a lot and the teachings of Jesus Christ. I've got the same Bible that Millie's got. I didn't take yours. This is mine. I found this at a garage sale for $1, just down the street from here in Kensington, when they had that yard, that all neighborhood garage sale. Anyway, this is, we talk about 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 and the gifts from Spirit, and how prophecy and healing are two of the gifts that we practice in this church, you know, which is really neat. So if you're around here, you'll hear that a lot, and they'll read that a lot. And did you know? I didn't know that, but maybe I just didn't hear it yet. If you read further along in Corinthians, it actually tells us how to properly do message bearing, do what we do here, and it explains how it does here. I was really flabbergasted one time, and when I read that part, and you're still in 1 Corinthians 14, and it's titled Orderliness in the Church, and I wish that Dennis was here, because he helped to give me a really good example of this, a really good example. Some of you had witnessed this, and you might remember. Anyway, in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, it says, "Well, my brothers, let's add up what I am saying. When you meet together, some will sing, another will teach or tell some special information God has given him, but everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. Two or three may prophesy, one at a time, if they have the gift, while all the others listen. But if, when someone is prophesying, someone else receives a message or an idea from the Lord," which is neat, or it says message or idea, because that means that we need to translate that idea from the Lord, "the one who is speaking should stop if someone else receives that message. In this way, all who have the gift of prophecy can speak one after the other, and everyone will learn and be encouraged and helped. Remember that a person who has a message from God has the power to stop himself or wait his turn. God is not one who likes things to be disorderly and upset. He likes harmony, and he feels it in all the other churches. I like that part because spiritualism gleans truth from all other religions. So I think that's kind of neat. I find this so interesting because one year, I believe it was one year, we were all standing up here, and it was the end of the year celebrations, and it was my turn to give a message, and I had already given all glory to God and the angel kingdom. And Dennis abruptly added more to his previous message. I don't know if anybody was there at that time. But we all sat back and let him do his thing. And if he listened to this, he probably wouldn't even remember this, because he was simply being used by God, period. And we all, as message bearers, just sat back, observed, and listened, and learned from what he was saying. But this is exactly what the Bible says to do. It's really neat. So if you go into 1 Corinthians 15, that goes on to say, how will the dead be brought back to life again? What kind of bodies will they have? You will find the answer in your garden. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And when the green shoot comes up out of the seed, it is very different from the seed you first planted. For all you put into the ground was a dry little seed. And then God gives it a beautiful new body. Now, you have to read it. There's a lot more substance to that. I kind of pared it down a lot. And it says, the angels in heaven have bodies far different from ours. The bodies we have now are human bodies at death. But when they come back to life, they will be superhuman bodies. For just as there are natural human bodies, there are also supernatural spiritual bodies. It says it right there in the Bible. It's like, awesome. I love that. So there is so much more in this subject in the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. A lot more. So, I mean, I encourage you to read it because it's really awesome. It explains how when we die, we will never be without a body. These supernatural spiritual bodies, these are who we call the angels. And these are the ones that we communicate with during our mediumship. And so we're nearing the end of Millie's classes. And so that's where we practice communicating with the angel kingdom. And during the class lesson where we practice the billet reading, we write down on a piece of paper a question. Millie sometimes asks us to think, imagine there's a chair in the middle of the room and God or Jesus is sitting right there and you have a question for him. So what are you going to ask? You know, most of us are like put on the spot, you know. It's like, you know, I don't have time to think. I didn't know we were going to do billet reading. What am I going to write? You know, so you just kind of do something off the top of your head, right? And now this is a question that I would like to ask for God if he were standing in the room. When somebody dies who is very talented, like my Aunt Dot who could play the piano by ear, or someone like Mozart, or Leonardo da Vinci, or John Greenleaf Whittier, one of our famous American poets, what will happen to their talent? Or the talent when somebody like comedian Robin Williams dies? Where does their talent go? What happens to it? Does it get reemerged into the subconsciousness of humanity? Into that pool, waiting for somebody who will take a handful of whatever that feels right for them to come back down to the physical earth when they're reincarnated. You know, is that how God works? You know, I don't know. But before I continue on here, I wanted to read you a piece of poetry by John Greenleaf Whittier called The Common Question. I am a direct descendant of him. And maybe that's where some of my talent was passed down from him. He was born in 1802. He was a huge activist for anti-slavery. And he was up there with Longfellow and all the other famous American poets. When I was growing up, my mother always proudly pointed to the hymnal song in church written by John Greenleaf Whittier. I don't have that. I should find that somewhere. But this is what The Common Question says. Behind us at our evening meal, the gray bird ate his fill, swung downward by a single claw, and wiped his hooked bill. He shook his wings of crimson tail and set his head aslant, and in his sharp, impatient way asked, "What does Charlie want?" "Fie, silly bird," I answered, "tuck your head beneath your wing and go to sleep." But over and o'er, he asked the same self-same thing. Then, smiling to myself, I said, "How like are men and birds? We all are saying what he says in action or in words. The boy with whip and toy and drum, the girl with hoop and doll, and men with lands and houses ask the question of poor Paul," like Polly wants a cracker, "poor Paul. However full with something more, we feign the bag would cram, we sigh above our crowded nets for fish that never swam. No bounty of indulgent heaven, the vague desire can stay. Self-love is still a tartar mill for grinding prayers alway. The dear God hears and pities all. He knoweth all our wants, and what we blindly ask of him, his love withholds or grants. And so I sometimes think our prayers might well be merged in one, and nest and perch and hearth and church repeat, 'Thy will be done.'" Now, "thy will be done." There's another question that I always ask myself as a little girl, because my parents had this beautiful embroidery of the Lord's Prayer over their bed, and now I have it over our bed. But whenever I was growing up, I was your age going, "What the heck does 'thy will be done' mean?" I had no idea, because you have nothing, you have no idea as a child that, or you might, I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking for me. So where does their talents go? Where does everybody's talents go? This one famous poet would be outside gardening. She'd be gardening and, you know, and down on her knees gardening. And all of a sudden she'd hear this rumbling in the distance, like rolling thunder, trembling the earth. And it would be moving closer and closer and closer. She'd perk up. She'd tremble. She'd throw down her gardening tools. And she would run into the house as fast as she could as it came closer and closer and closer. And what she would do is she would write down her inspiration, because what it was the inspiration, because if it left her and she didn't grab that pen and paper right away, she believed that it would just keep on rolling over the earth until someone else with intuitive ears would grab it and write it down. So, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, is that how God works? How does God really work? What happens to our talents? You know, it's like, you want to write down, okay, am I going to win the lottery? You know, I mean, that's like we just get put on the spot when we're doing the billet reading. But I would want to ask those questions of God. And so speaking of winning the lottery, not quite, but I wanted to add or end this with a Mother's Day God story. My mom passed away in February, about 6 years ago. Time flies, huh? And 2 days before she died from colon cancer, I was able to get through to her by phone in the hospital where I was born, the same hospital that I was born in New Jersey. If anyone is familiar with those privacy laws, it's really difficult to get through. They give her the third degree of, like, how, you know, do you have a daughter? Where does she live? Blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I got, like, $4 daughters, and I'm like, which one are you talking about? I mean, and she's like on her deathbed, and it's like, so it was really hard, but I finally got through to her. The other family members weren't able to, so it was a God story that I was able to get through to her, because the next day she went into a coma. By the time my sister, who lives in Italy, got there, she was already in a coma. But when I got a hold of her, I mean, what do you say when you know it's your last few hours of your mom, you know, mom's life on earth? So I just simply said, "Mom, I wanted to let you know that I love you and I miss you." And so she responded in her soft, low voice by saying, "I love you and I miss you too." And she was my best friend. She really was. And on the day she passed, 2 days later, the day after Valentine's Day, I was on an airplane going back to New Jersey to be with my family to help arrange the memorial. And at the airport, I noticed a bunch of ladies having fun in a group, and I was all alone, keeping to myself, trying to keep it together, since it was the day that my mother passed. And quietly sitting on the airplane, I was next to one of the older women in the back of the plane. I was making my jewelry, and I was keeping my mind off of things, really trying to hold back my tears until I actually saw my family members. And so within, it was maybe a half hour before we were going to land, the plane was going to land in Newark. A woman who was seated in the front of the plane walked down the aisle and leaned over to the seat and said to the older woman sitting next to me, "I have a message from your daughter. She wants to say that she loves you and she misses you." That did it. I couldn't hold it in anymore. I mean, oh my God. Tears just came sobbing down my face. And this now concerned woman comforted me. She said she would be my mother until we landed, you know, which was just really sweet. And she told me how she lost one of her daughters to breast cancer, too. So, I mean, to have that heart-wrenching losing a daughter feeling, that's really sad. So it was this was her other daughter who was on the plane. And this woman was from Carlsbad, you know. That was it, you know. It was just really nice, very comforting. And a few months had passed, and I realized Mother's Day was approaching. This was going to be my first Mother's Day without my mom. The hardest. And my husband knows I like to play the slots occasionally. So he took me to the Mother's Day brunch at Viejas, along with our other daughters, Emily, who was 8 at the time, and Mary, who was 12. And the line was really long, but we were really patient. And by the time we got to the very front of the line, we were next to be seated, so we were very front of the line. Guess who walks by to get some food? Is this lady who sat next to me on the airplane. My husband's like, "You got to keep it together. You got to keep it together." And so I'm like, "I don't even want to look. I don't want to look." I mean, I couldn't say anything to her. I was going to lose it. I mean, the love for the mom is just so much. So that was just incredible. So once the buffet was over, much less someone who said that they would be my mother on the day that my mother passed, and it was on Mother's Day. You know, it was just, when do you ever run into the person that you sat next to in the airplane again? You know, besides you invite them to lunch, but, you know, you might, but I've never run into anybody. No. And so after all of that, after brunch was, we had a full 20 minutes to spend. I had a full 20 minutes to spend on the slots. And my husband took the kids across the street to the outlets. Now, this was the time when underage kids could go to the buffet, too. And so here I am, like, I'm like with my X amount of money, you know, I'm at the Wheel of Fortune. And then I realized that I had 10 minutes left. And so I call it, like, forget about life for a while fun. You know, it's like, just forget it, you know, just that time. And so I looked up. I realized I had 10 minutes. I looked up. I said hello and thank you to my mom. I wished her a happy Mother's Day. And then I asked her if she could help me win the big spin. So sure enough, as soon as I did that, I let the prayer go. And then it landed on 1,000. And it was 1,000 quarters, because I, you know, cheapy. But still, it was $250 I won. That $250 lasted me for weeks. And it was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much, Mom. I mean, it was just such a special Mother's Day gift for me, you know, to really know that you know that you know, you know. And so in closing, I just want you to get excited about our religion of spiritualism. You know, and after all, it really is. It's all spelled out in the Bible. I'm really surprised that the religion of spiritualism isn't bigger than it already is, because it's all spelled out in the Bible, really. I mean, it's there. And so we're going to really help it along, you know. And And so believe that what we do here, believe what we do here is real. It really is real. And be grateful and appreciative of all of our talents. And know that God will answer all of your questions and prayers, but always remember to run it through your God self. Really. And I just hope that I made you think a little bit tonight, helped you to think a little bit deeper into your own knowing. So I wanted to thank you very much for this time. Yeah.